right. Some say Bitcoin could change the way we think about and do financial transactions and so much more. Let's talk about this. Alex Tapscott is Chief Executive Officer at Northwest Passage Ventures. He's got a new book out along with his dad, Don Tapscott. The book is called Blockchain Revolution, How the Technology Behind Bitcoin is Changing Money, Business, and the World. Alex, nice to have you here with Corey and myself. Your timing is good. What did you guys want to do putting together this book? What's kind of the goal of it?
Well, timing is half the battle, certainly. And it appears that, once again, we're at a really important moment in history because the technology that's likely to have the biggest impact on money and business has arrived. And it's not what you might think. A lot of people point out things like the social web, cloud computing, self-driving cars, AI. Well, it turns out the technology likely to have the biggest impact is this technology called blockchain, which is based on the cryptocurrency Bitcoin. So not exactly the most sonorous word, blockchain. Kind of sounds like a combination of blocking and tackling and chain gang. But we think it represents really nothing less than the second generation of the Internet, and as a result has the potential to fundamentally change the economic order and the way we do business. So we're very excited about it.
How do you see this? You know, there are some sort of fundamental issues with blockchain technology that prevents it from being used in things like the securities industry. That is the total anonymity that would evade the regulations that surround things like Wall Street. What do you see as solutions to that?
Well, the technology behind Bitcoin actually has implications in a wide range of industries, and that's really what we try to better understand in the book, Blockchain Revolution. And in fact, it turns out that blockchain technology, rather than being incompatible with financial services, could offer a huge opportunity for many banks. In fact, right now, every single bank in the world is actually either building a blockchain technology implementation or is partnered with a company that is working on that. So, for example, 45 of the largest banks are signed up to a consortium called R3CEV. IBM launched a project called Hyperledger, which counts Deutsche Bank, State Street, and Wells Fargo as members. Companies like NASDAQ, Visa, Orange, Citibank are working with a corporation called Chain. Because the opportunity here is significant, and it's because for the first time really in human history, we have a native digital medium for moving, storing, and managing value. So with the first generation of the Internet, when you share or send information like a PDF or an email or website, you're not actually sending an original, you're sending a copy. And that's a good thing when it comes to information. The fact that we all have a printing press for information has enabled the world's population to access all sorts of info that they couldn't have gotten before. But when it comes to assets like a stock or a bond or a dollar or a title or a deed, sending a copy is a really bad idea. Like if I send you $100, you need to make sure that you have it and I don't. And I can't send the same $100 to a million other people. It's something that's called the double spend problem. And cryptographers have been trying to figure out a way to fix it for 20 years. So enter blockchain technology, which enables basically anything of value, money, equities, titles, deeds, even things like votes or intellectual property, to be stored and managed securely and to be moved, transacted on a peer-to-peer basis without the need for a lot of costly infrastructure and intermediaries. So banks like...
Let me just break in for a second, Alex, because what's it going to take, though, for this to really work seamlessly?
Well, like anything, it's in its early stages, but the rate of adoption has been pretty tremendous. 2 years ago when I started the research for this book, no large corporation had publicly announced that they were working with this technology. Now virtually every single one is, and every day there's a new milestone. J.P. Morgan actually did a test with 2,000 of its clients where it was using blockchain on the back end. NASDAQ ran a test at Consensus, which is a blockchain conference just 2 weeks ago in New York, where they demonstrated a digitization of all sorts of kinds of assets, stocks, bonds, dollars, and demonstrated how they could be moved company to company without going through all the costly clearing and settling infrastructure that exists today. So it's happening. It's happening right now. And it's playing out quickly than I think a lot of people could have possibly anticipated. And I think probably in the next 18 to 24 months, this kind of technology will be commonplace in a lot of business processes, and individuals will begin to feel its effect.
It's interesting. I mean, I sort of look at the places where I would have expected it to be used, and I just haven't seen it really showing up yet. And is this my impatience, or is there something else that sort of? Well, I guess rephrase the question. What is the biggest gate you think right now that's kept obvious use cases from proceeding forward?
Well, I think if anything, it's a question of how quickly people can come to understand what the technology means for their business. I think you're absolutely right that in the early days, a lot of big companies were very reluctant to embrace this thing, Bitcoin, because they saw it as this anonymous peer-to-peer network that they couldn't control and where they didn't know the participants. And that made them extremely reluctant to get involved. Now that there's been more education and advocacy for the technology, where they're seeing the opportunities to change the way their businesses work. And so I think, you know, what are the big obstacles? They're ones you might expect. How do you scale the technology? How do you ensure that criminals don't use it? And how do you make sure that any regulations or type or laws that you put in place to manage and govern it don't stifle innovation and enable it to flourish? And so far,
think about that. Like, I mean, the notion that there will never be a law, that's just not, I mean, I can't really imagine, you know, Congress or a president saying we will never, change the rules around Bitcoin. I mean, that's never going to go away.
Well, I disagree with that. And in fact, you've seen a lot of governments around the world coming out with some really progressive rules and regulations around it. You know, Japan, for the first major country, announced that they would treat it like a currency. They would recognize it the way they recognize the yen or the euro or the dollar. The U.S. government has shown a lot of support for it. As early as 2013, Ben Bernanke was saying this technology could radically improve the efficiency of financial services industry. In Canada, where I live, the deputy governor of the Bank of Canada said that digitizing currencies like the U.S. dollar or the pound or the Canadian dollar could radically improve how central banks govern effectively. The senior economist of the Bank of England has said the same thing. George Osborne, the chancellor of the Exchequer, had said that London and the City of London and the United Kingdom should do everything in their power to encourage the development of this technology. And in fact,
we're going to jump there, Alex Tapscott. We've got to jump here. Co-author of Blockchain Revolution. You listen to Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio. Corey Johnson, Carol Masser. This is The Advantage.